Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Solskjaer has won the European Cup for Manchester United. It's absolutely astonishing.
The double is definitely Manchester United's.
Too far for Ronaldo to think about it. Oh!
Absolutely sensational.
Red in Russia. This English night in Europe is Manchester United's night.
Manchester United get back to winning ways with a 1-0 victory against Leicester thanks to a Marcus Rashford penalty. We're talking that win, looking at Scott McTominay's performance in the absence of Paul Pogba and David De Gea's new contract, as well as which Leicester City players we would sign in January or the next summer transfer window. Then we talk about our youth loan and women's roundup as always before previewing games against Astana at home in the Europa League and West Ham away in London. Jack, I mean, overall not the most entertaining win. Both United and Leicester a bit toothless in their displays at Old Trafford on Saturday. But the one player that really stood out for me, and before we talk about the win as a whole and the importance of it, is Scott McTominay, who I thought was fantastic. He was kind of started up a bit higher up the pitch and a bit in a freer role than normal because Pogba wasn't playing, and you could tell he's got so much confidence in his own game. A lot of those kind of chop backs between his own legs to take the pressure off himself, some fantastic passing, some great vision, and all in all a really impressive performance.
It shouldn't really be too much of a surprise at that point for us all when Scott McTominay puts in these kind of performances, because he's been doing it for the last 5 or 6 months. I mean, so far this season he's been probably alongside Harry Maguire our most consistent player. Every single week he comes out, he does his job just as you would want it. And you're right, having that little bit of extra freedom with Pogba not in the team allowed him a little bit of more responsibility going forward, and he seemed to thrive from it. He has some brilliant marauding runs forward. He reminds me of Roy Keane in his younger years, when Roy Keane wasn't so much of just sort of a destroyer. When on the ball, Roy Keane had some brilliant vision going forward. He was brilliant on the ball with his passing. But the thing that really stood out about Keane's game when he was younger, sort of in the late 90s, was that his runs forward on the ball were immaculate. And the goal that stands out to me is one he scored against Arsenal, where he's running through and ends up playing a 1-2. I think it might be with Andy Cole. And it's exactly the kind of thing that Scott McTominay has been doing for the last few games this season, and even more so against Leicester with that extra freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not to say that if Pogba leaves next summer, McTominay can replace that creativity and ability in the side. That's definitely not true. But I think a lot of United fans who didn't get to see McTominay as a kid, because it's worth remembering that until McTominay was 18, he was an attacking midfielder, and he missed about a year and a half of football as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, because he had such an incredible growth spurt where he grew, I think, 12 or 13 inches in the space of 12 or 18 months. So he had this incredible growth spurt, and that saw him convert, drop deeper into a sitting midfielder. And that's something Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said after the game. He said he's still adjusting to this new role, and it's incredible. But it means that for much of McTominay's career, his youth career, he was playing as an attacking midfielder, having to have those attributes. And there's some really, there was a beautiful searching ball landed right at the feet of Dan James early on, and I think it led to James winning a free kick, and Pereira came very close. There was a lovely cushioned pass to get Young out of trouble on the left. And then there was this crunching tackle on Ben Chilwell, yep. Which kind of awoke Old Trafford from a bit of a slumber, and got everyone standing to its feet. He comes a bit unstuck when under pressure, I think, particularly in his own half. The closer he is to his own goal, he starts to look a lot less assured. And that's definitely a problem. Kieran McKenna, one of the coaches, had like a little word in his ear in the first half. He definitely loses the ball a bit too much, but... very important, especially looking like playing next to Nemanja Matic and Juan Mata made him look even better.
Yeah, the company around him definitely improves the way he looks to everyone, because those two leave a lot to be desired generally. But he's becoming a leader for us as well, and that's what we wanted to see. We wanted to see leaders step up this season, and Scott McTominay is proving that he can be that leader for us. And he's learning with experience how to be a bit of a gamesman as well, and what he was doing at the end of the game, taking the ball to the corner and leaving it in between his legs, all just to waste time as we were trying to close out the game.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that makes him a particularly good footballer, but it's just him showing that he's learning a bit of nous, he's gaining that experience, which we all wanted. And the way that he is becoming a leader in our team is very, very impressive. And I would say probably along with Harry Maguire, David De Gea, he is probably one of the talismanic figures in our team at this point, despite being so young and still relatively inexperienced, because he's one of the people that you can count on for those consistent performances. We've spoken before about how being a leader leader doesn't necessarily mean you're going around barking orders at every player around you. It's about leading by example and being a figure that everyone in the team can look to when they need someone to pull out a performance. And you just never feel that McTominay is going to put in a bad performance at the moment. I'm not saying he's going to set the world on fire every single time he steps out on the pitch, but when I see him in the starting lineup, I never worry that this could be a day where he plays particularly badly. Yeah. And even with a player as great as Paul Pogba, that is something that you worry about.
Yeah, I did a piece for United website on that, saying that McTominay is probably United's most reliable central player. We've seen some great performances from Wan-Bissaka and Dan James, but I think McTominay, certainly in the spine of the team, is the most reliable, consistent player that United have this season and at the back end of last season. It's incredible when you think about how the criticism he got at the start, and there were so many comparisons drawn to Darren Fletcher, someone who also got a huge amount of criticism when Fergie brought him into the side as a kid. And obviously the Scottish link is there, the fact that they're both blonde and playing central midfield. But it's one that is kind of coming true, because McTominay is now starting to put in solid performances. It's unlikely, if United are to get back to title-winning ways, that McTominay will be part of that title-winning midfield. He'll probably be a squad player at best. But nevertheless, it's incredibly impressive for a 21-year-old to come through that criticism and be acting as one of the leaders of the side. And that's what he said, he wants to be a leader in the United dressing room. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer called him a leader after the game. And in fact, later in the game, he dropped back into a deeper position when Fred replaced Matic. And that brings me on to another point, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer finally made some earlier substitutions. And that, I think, helped United see the game out.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how we saw the game out in the end. I mean, it wasn't always totally comfortable, but at no point did I feel like it was inevitable that we were going to be conceding. And in sort of a weird way, it reminded me quite a lot of the Leicester game in, what was it, last season? Or might have been the season before last. We drew 2-2 at the King Power Stadium with the last-minute goal scored by Leicester when Chris Smalling was injured but somehow left on the pitch. And the difference from then to now was massive. And yes, we it wasn't ideal. We didn't keep the ball as well as we should have done. We were under pressure. But at no point did it feel like Leicester were imminently about to score. And the one chance that they did have was Ndidi with the left-footed volley, which came after a couple of crosses into the box. And even that, it was more of a half chance and a snatched shot rather than any actual big chance that you would expect Leicester to be scoring from. And I really do think that Harry Maguire's presence makes such a difference in that, because in a similar way to what I find when I watch Virgil van Dijk play, in that when I watch Virgil van Dijk, he never looks like he's flustered at all. Even when he's last man and someone's running at him 1v1, it almost looks like van Dijk is in control of every situation. And it's something that Harry Maguire exudes as well when he defends. He never looks like he's under too much pressure. And even Victor Lindelof, who we have praised a lot and I think both like as a centre-back, his style of play is a little bit more erratic and he does sometimes look like he's a little bit flustered. And there was a moment where Leicester almost got in because Lindelof misjudged a ball and he just looked sort of all over the place. But Harry Maguire just exudes that confidence, exudes that calmness. And I think that does have an effect on the players around him. And obviously, it wasn't like he was making goal-saving tackle after goal-saving tackle. But I don't think we can underestimate the impact that just having someone with that calm air about them makes to that defence as we're trying to close out a game.
Maguire was massively important in calming the game down. And his presence, as you say, is so important to the players in front of him, players like McTominay. And to the players behind him as well. David De Gea has kept more clean sheets the same amount of clean sheets at Old Trafford this season as he did last season already in 16 fewer games. And Maguire and Wan-Bissaka are proving to be fantastic signings, and I think we should kind of remember that as the season progresses and not take it for granted that all three signings that Solskjaer made this summer have been absolutely spot on.
Somehow Maguire has almost gone from being massively over scrutinized to almost flying under the radar a little bit now, because yeah. I think it's almost just kind of assumed that he's going to be solid, and because he doesn't rack up gaudy stats like Wan-Bissaka does with all of the tackles, just because of the Maguire's style and the fact that centre backs generally aren't in one-on-one duels quite as much as fullbacks are. I don't actually think Maguire is getting the credit and the recognition that he deserves for the effect that he's having on that defence. Him, Wan-Bissaka and Dan James have been very, very successful signings so far. Although I'm touching wood as I record this to hopefully not jinx that. And despite all the negativity around the summer transfer window, which I think was justified, and the fact that our start after the Chelsea game hasn't been as good as we maybe could have hoped, that is definitely a positive that we can take, is that it does suggest good things going forward, that the club and hopefully Solskjaer did actually do due diligence on these signings properly and made sure that all of the signings they were making were people that were going to fit in with the philosophy that Solskjaer was trying to implement and would actually be able to come in and make a difference to this team, not just signings based on name recognition or signings that, you know, were over the hill and weren't going to fit in our system. And that is a positive going forward, regardless of how many players we signed over the summer.
Definitely. I mean, we said this at the end of the transfer window, United should have made more signings, but the signings they have made are very good ones. And we spent £150 million this summer. And is any of those millions and millions seen as a waste? I don't think so. £80 million for Dan James is proving he won't keep up this form. He's clearly playing probably above his level because of the confidence he has at the moment, but £80 million for Dan James has already proved worth it. Basically £50 million for Aaron Wan-Bissaka looks like a very astute signing, and he should only get better, and £80 million for Harry Maguire seems to just about be worth it. And we said after the Maguire signing we were very excited by it, but we were slightly concerned by the fact we were paying £80 million for a centre back, or for any player really. And we thought Maguire was probably worth nearer 50 or 60. But we also said at the time, if people have stopped talking about Harry Maguire's price tag by the end of the season, by this time next year, then that'll be fine. I haven't seen anyone refer to Harry Maguire as an £80 million centre-back over the last month, because instantly he's come into the side and put in the performances you would expect from a player of that price tag.
I don't think anyone can have any complaints so far about what Harry Maguire has offered to our defence. Not only have his performances been good, but like I said, the effect that he's having on everyone around him is massive. And you're right, the price tag isn't being discussed now. And we've said this with Paul Pogba before, in that he does get a lot of unfair criticism purely based off of his price tag. But a lot of that comes from the fact that Pogba hasn't done enough in his performances to make those comments go away. Maguire has come in and has hit the ground running. And I'm not saying that it will ever completely go away. There will always be people who talk about Harry Maguire's price tag, in the same way there are still some idiots that go around mentioning Van Dijk's price tag every once in a while as well. But if you play the way that Maguire is playing so far, it will be forgotten to a large extent, and people will focus on the way that you're playing. And the fact that as a centre-back, in the same way as a central defensive midfielder, often the biggest compliment that you can have is people not really talking about you very much. And I think that's what's happening to Harry Maguire at the moment.
Yeah, and I kind of briefly touched on it, saying that Solskjaer made earlier subs and reacted quicker. And this was a big criticism I had after the Southampton game in particular. And it came from the first four Premier League games of the season. Obviously, the Chelsea game was fantastic, and then United drew away at Wolves. And were it not for a missed penalty, United could be second in the league. But at the same time, the substitutions and in-game changes that Solskjaer was making, particularly against Wolves and Southampton and also against Palace, were too late and often the wrong ones. And Wolves was particularly frustrating. You saw, I can't remember who came on, someone came on in the 81st minute. And then Mason Greenwood and Juan Mata were brought on in the 89th minute. And obviously United were looking for a winner, and it's possible to get a winner from the 89th minute onwards, but it seemed a little futile. That's not enough time for a 17-year-old Greenwood to settle in and find the goal, and it's also not enough time for Juan Mata, a player like Mata, to settle in and make a difference. So it seemed pointless, it seemed too late. Against Leicester, 67th minute, probably still a little late. Fred is brought on from Matic, McTominay drops deeper, and suddenly things calm down. 70th, Tahith Chong comes on, gives United a bit some fresh legs, replaces Mata, gives them more power on the counter attack, and that changed it.
And Chong played well, by the way, when he came on as well.
Yeah, he lost the ball a couple of times. He made a couple of wrong decisions, but he did well, and he did the. I think importantly, he wasn't brought on to score necessarily, but he was brought on to give United something else and make Leicester worry about what United could do on the counter-attack, because Dan James was starting to kind of fade out of the game. He had one or two moments in the second half, but he wasn't much involved. Chong came on and made a difference on that front. So the fact that Solskjaer made earlier subs completely, it won United the 3 points. And I think that game, even a month ago, and it still could have done, but even a month ago, I think would have probably ended a draw, and particularly, even more notably, a season ago, 2 seasons ago, in the last 5 years, that would have been a draw, but perhaps a sign of change.
I'm very pleased that Solskjaer is starting to learn from his mistakes, or at least it seems like he is. And I think it's one thing that we're going to have to get used to as United fans, because there are going to be mistakes in Solskjaer's tenure. He is not a particularly experienced manager, especially at this level. And so I think we have to kind of be willing to take the good with the bad. And as long as we do see progress, then that's kind of all we can ask for. And I think the subs are definitely one of the main areas that we can criticise Solskjaer. I can't remember who it was that came on in the Wolves game, but I remember it being quite a defensive player that came on around like the 80th minute before we then brought on Greenwood for when there was sort of 1 or 2 minutes left. And it was such a frustrating feeling, because you knew, it was obvious to pretty much everyone watching it what needed to happen. And partly this goes back, I do feel sorry for Solskjaer a little bit, because it goes back to the summer transfer window and not bringing in the right players that we wanted and being left with a horrific lack of depth in a lot of positions, because you look at our bench and if we need a goal, our main option is a 17-year-old Mason Greenwood. And as exciting as Mason Greenwood is, him being the person we're relying on to score goals is not the position that we wanted to be in. But having said that, Solskjaer does need to start using the players that he has at his disposal a lot more. And not only did he bring players on at the right time, I thought the players that he brought on were also very good. He made all the right changes when he needed to try and control the game and also give us a little bit more edge going forward. So I have no complaints with what Solskjaer did at the weekend. I think the Leicester performance as a whole was disappointing, as a lot of it has been this season, but this young team finding a way to win when they don't play particularly well is always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think given the injuries, it was a scenario and a result and a performance that fans will readily accept, particularly against a team of Leicester's quality.
100%.
Pogba, Martial, Shaw, all out. Eric Bailly's out, Diogo Dalot is out.
Lingard.
Yeah, Lingard as well. So, and United squad is bloated, but in terms of quality, it's very thin, so those players being out. And I tell you what's also a change this season is I'm really excited to watch Anthony Martial come back. He should be back from injury very soon and is almost fit to play, I think, and I'm excited to see him play again, and I haven't felt that way since probably while he was playing under Louis van Gaal, so that's a big difference. On the subject of transfers, actually, very quickly, if you could sign one Leicester player, partly based on the performance against United, but also in general, which one would it be?
It's a tough choice. There are a lot of good players on that Leicester team. One player that I have been very impressed with this season, not so much against United, he didn't have the best game, but is the centre-back Soyuncu. I think he's done very, very well since coming in, partly to replace Harry Maguire. Ben Chilwell would be pretty high on my list as well. I don't think there's a massive difference between him and Luke Shaw, but I think Chilwell is a little bit more dynamic than Shaw in pretty much all aspects of the game. But I think the one that I would probably end up settling on would probably be James Maddison. I think he would offer us a lot going forward in a position that we struggle to have a lot of quality. We don't connect the midfield and the attackers in the way that we should. And I think playing in our midfield alongside McTominay and Pogba would provide us with a lot of very good options.
Yeah, I've thought about this question during the game. And my kind of instinctive reaction was James Maddison. I think he would be good for United. Solskjaer is interested in him. That much is clear. And a lot of other top European clubs, not just English clubs, are looking at whether they can sign him, because it'll probably be around 80 million. And I think he'd be a very good signing, but I'm not sure it's the position United need most. And I think if United could sign perhaps Wilfred Ndidi, but I'm not sure if he's quite good enough, then move Pogba forward, then I think Pogba could be better than Maddison in that role. But I think Madison's a really exciting player, and he's got a great future for Leicester and whoever he goes on to play for, and England. Finally, before we move on, David De Gea signed a new contract about 2 hours ago. We're recording this on Monday evening. Fantastic news. I don't think there's much else to say. It's a potential. United have secured their defensive spine for the next 5 years at least. Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Maguire arrived this summer, both on 5 or 6 year contracts. De Gea has now signed a 5 year contract, I think 4 years with a possibility of an extra one. So it kind of gives Solskjaer, or even if Solskjaer leaves, it gives United that base from which to build on. And the defence has certainly improved under Solskjaer, even if the attack remains somewhat stagnant.
Yeah, and rarely have I seen any contract be so richly deserved as De Gea's is. And despite the dip in form at the end of last season, where we were all worried about whether this was sort of the beginning of the end for David De Gea, he'd come back this season and largely looked very, very good. He made a brilliant save from James Maddison, I think, actually, in the first half. That looked like it might take the game away from us very early on, before he'd even scored the penalty. So if it wasn't for De Gea, that game could have gone in a very, very different way. It was a great save with his feet. He looks back to his normal self, and hopefully we just don't have to rely on him quite as much as we have done in the last few years. But I think if anyone in United's squad deserved a new contract, David De Gea is 100% top of that list.
Yeah, and hopefully the fact that his future is now sorted will see him return to the form of 2017, 2018. Because it's very hard as a football fan, given the amount of games and the amount of games shown on TV now, to kind of detach yourself from the present. And De Gea's form has clearly been a worry for the last six months, maybe a year. And so it's hard to remember just how amazing he was in the 2017-18 season. Some ridiculous performances against Tottenham, Arsenal. The list would be endless if I actually went through it. And I watched a couple of his best stuff from that season today, just after he signed his contract. And you're reminded that this is currently not the best goalkeeper in the world, but someone who has been at one point and could obviously and easily be once again. And to have him tied down now, to not have to spend 100 million on a new goalkeeper, on someone like Jan Oblak, who may not even want to join the club, is fantastic news. And if he gets to the end of his contract, he will have spent 13 years at United.
Yeah.
Schmeichel and Van der Sar did 14 together between them, so he'll end up being one of United's highest
he'll end up being an absolute legend at United, I think. And just quickly If you go back 3 or 4 years, if you'd have said to someone when all the rumours about De Gea going to Madrid and it looked like the move was imminent, if you'd have said to someone that Monday 16th of September 2019, De Gea would not only still be at the club but have a fresh 5-year contract in his hand, I don't think anyone would have believed you. And to be fair, I think it's been by luck just as much as it's been through sort of calculated moves. But fair play to the backroom staff at the club and the board for actually making this happen. Although, like I said, I think a lot of it has been down to sort of luck and things falling into the right place rather than sort of calculated business.
Well, I think there's two things. One, credit to the backroom staff for making De Gea enjoy his time at United enough that the lack of trophies in the last 5 years, or we've won three actually, but the lack of major trophies in the last 5 years doesn't mean he's forcing his way out. because he was obviously looking at his options at Juventus, at PSG, and obviously Real Madrid a couple of years ago. So it's not like he was always going to sign this contract, but they've made it a situation where even though United are pretty poor and other teams are winning all the trophies, De Gea still wants to stay at least for the foreseeable future. And also, De Gea is one of the best players in his position in the world and is deciding to stay at United, so credit to him, and as you say, he will leave a legend. Right, we must move on. United's under-23s beat Fulham 1-0 on Friday night. Not their best performance of the season, and Brandon Williams was sent off in the second half. Fulham also had a man sent off, but particularly impressive from 16-year-old Will Fish and 17-year-old Ted Nmengi, the centre-back pairing, the really young centre-back pairing, playing years ahead of their schoolmates. It was a debut for Fish at that level, and he did very well. The under-18s, though, had a very disappointing 5-1 loss against Derby County. Mark Helm got the consolation goal. Too many players being played out of position, but the team is settling because a lot of new signings as well, so it is difficult. Since we last spoke, United's women's played their first ever Women's Super League Manchester Derby in front of more than 30,000 fans at the Etihad. A great day for the women's game in Manchester. City won 1-0, but it was close, and for United's first game against one of the best sides in the country, and their first game in the WSL, not a terrible result. They now face Arsenal, the champions as we record this, and then Liverpool, so certainly a few hard fixtures for Casey Stoney's side. Right, United start their UEFA Europa League campaign. We're back in Europe's most entertaining club competition. Astana, Kazakhstani opposition, could not be more Europa League. Thursday night at Old Trafford. The Red Army, the new United group sorting, who have created this section in the Stretford End right side with the help of United, where they're putting groups of mates together. They're getting people together who want to participate in the atmosphere at games, are having a big section in L stand, which is normally the away stand, against Astana. So it should be a pretty lively atmosphere for a game like this, which can often be kind of a drab affair. I think it's a fantastic opportunity to play United's most talented young players. I'd particularly love to see James Garner start in midfield, because of all the players, he's going to get the least chances in league football purely because of his position, because he's not a forward. But it would also be really good to see Brandon Williams start at left back, and obviously Angel Gomez, Chong and Mason Greenwood as well. So I think Solskjaer should be starting three or four of those. You don't want to throw them all in at once, but three or four of those should be playing against Astana.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no need to not play those young players in this game. You know, the Europa League group that we've been drawn into looks on paper to be pretty comfortable, and so there shouldn't be any issues with going through. And against Astana, it's the perfect opportunity to be playing those youngsters. Like you said, Chong, Greenwood, Gomez, James Garner, Brandon Williams, they're all players I think should at least be in contention to start. You'd like to see, like you said, maybe five of those play, I would say, along with some more experienced faces, probably Sergio Romero in net. And you know, give them some good experience. It will be a good test. Astana will probably are likely to sit deep, and it will allow our players to have a lot of the ball to express themselves. So I think it's the perfect opportunity to blood these youngsters. And you might see, as we go through the Europa League this season, you might see us playing teams that look like they're more sort of like League Cups kind of sides. And I think it actually might really help, because it will give us, our young players, a lot of experience, and hopefully mean that some of our more established first team players don't have to be playing on Thursday nights, and we may not suffer the same sort of Europa League hangover that is so common with this competition. Although having to travel to Kazakhstan in a couple of weeks is far from ideal for that.
Yeah, I was looking at flights to see if I could get out there for the game, and it's like 7 or 8 hour flights with stoppings and about 400, 500
quid. It's a long
quid.
Flight to get out there, yeah.
Yeah, massive flight, massively expensive, and actually it's really hard to get there.
I think it's about a 4 hour time difference as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those where you can't even get the flight to one place and then the train or anything like that. It's so hard to get to. I was properly looking at it. So credit to any United fans who are willing to pay that kind of money and sacrifice a few days to get there when we play them away from home.
It's like those 30 odd Wolves fans that made the trip out to Armenia for their Europa League qualifier. It was class there.
Yeah, I remember when United played Rostov as well. There were a few people who got like a 3 or 4 day train to the middle of Russia. And then also it was a period where United had Rostov away, Southampton away, and then the League Cup final at Wembley as well. And I think I think there were 14 fans who went to all three games. United sent them a little reward, I think gave one of their tickets for free or something to say thank you, which is fair enough. And then after Astana, as you say, hopefully the senior players are given a rest because of the quality of these young players coming through. West Ham, Sunday, away from home. We've had some shocking games away to West Ham under Mourinho, Van Gaal and a few others, so it's always going to be a tricky one. What are you predicting?
Yeah, not going to be easy at all. West Ham are always a strange side. You never quite know what you're going to get with West Ham. They always seem like they're very good on paper and then sometimes struggle to put it together. But it's just an awful place to go and play. Upton Park was one of the grounds I hated watching United play at. And although the London Stadium isn't anywhere near as intimidating, it still carries some pretty bad memories from us from last season. I'd be very, very shocked if this was anything other than a very uncomfortable game for us. I don't think it's going to be a particularly enjoyable watch. I think it's going to be quite scrappy. Prediction, I'll probably go... Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to win. I'll go a 1-1 draw. Hopefully not scoring with another penalty, because that is becoming a concern that so many of our goals are coming from set pieces. But yeah, I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
I'm going to be more optimistic, go with a 2-0 win. I think it will be uncomfortable, but I think we'll go ahead and then grab one late on, because that's the benefit of having someone like Mason Greenwood on the bench. It's like you've got Rashford, Martial, yeah, and James starting probably against West Ham. The pace and the directness and incisiveness in that attack is incredible, and I don't know if it's a concern that we're getting so many penalties, because there's a reason we're getting so many. I was just looking at this, 4 out of the 11 penalties in the Premier League this season have been for United, but when you look at United's attackers, they're all these young kind of quick feet and pacey direct forwards, and it's no surprise. And then if you can bring someone else off the bench to get a goal late on, it hasn't quite worked like that yet this season, but at some point it might start to work out like that we bring on Greenwood or James late on, and that gets us and takes the game away from the opposition. So I'm going 2-0 win for United. We'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for listening, as always, to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. For more from Jack throughout the week, you can find him on Twitter at
UTDTait, T-A-I-T.
And you can find me on Twitter at HarryRobinson64, and the podcast itself at UTDWeeklyPod. That's P-O-D at the end there. Thank you, as always, for listening, and thank you to those who have left reviews on iTunes. Please rate, subscribe, review, all of that stuff, and give us a shout out on Twitter if you're enjoying this, though. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.